Now, friends, we've come to the 8th chapter of 1 Corinthians, and last time we were looking at this question, actually, of sex. Paul faced the questions boldly. It had to do with marriage and divorce. It had to do with marriage and its relationships. And Paul lifted it to a very high plane. And he was answering questions that the Corinthian church had sent to him. Now, also, they had some other questions, and we are now dealing here, beginning with chapter 8, concerning Christian liberty, and that will take us into the first verse of the 11th chapter, and it deals with several aspects. Now, here in chapter 8, it deals actually with meat, whether we should eat meat or not, and the liberty that a child of God should have in this particular area. And this, I trust, will be very helpful as we look at what Paul has to say here. And also that we recognize that in this first section, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, and he calls them carnal, babes in Christ. And these things are carnalities that he's talking about. But here's where the church lives and moves and has its being today, and these are pertinent questions today because, well, it's a carnal church that we're in, and these become the important things rather than spiritualities. But we want to deal with them. Paul dealt with them. Now, this subject, I think, is just as controversial as the one that has to do with marriage and divorce. You see, diet is a fad with many people. And right at this present moment, it's just a fad with me, but I'm needing to get on a diet because my doctor tells me to. And so diet becomes a pretty important item for most of us. And it's interesting that it's generally an essential part of the ritual of most cults and isms today. You find most of them dealing with diet. And the very interesting thing is that God gave to Israel certain restrictions about eating meat. The outward test of the animal was that part a hoof and chew the cud. That eliminated the pig, of course. He parts the hoof but doesn't chew the cud. And there's certain fowl that were designated by name as unfit for food. And you find over in the 14th chapter of Deuteronomy, it's also in Leviticus, where we find this list given. And you'll find in verse 12, "But these are they of which ye shall not eat, the eagle, the ossifrage, and the osprey." A friend of mine who doesn't believe that you should eat meat, he belongs to a cult that practices that, and he was discussing that with me, and I asked him one day, I said, "Have you ever eaten an ossifrage?" He says, "A what?" "Well," I says, "an ossifrage." He said, "Don't even know what it is." Well, I said, "You better find out what it is, because you may come over to my house someday and I may serve you roast ossifrage. And if you eat it, you'll be just as wrong as you eat pork." Well, you know, he didn't know what an ossifrage was. He knew what a pig was, and he wouldn't touch pork. But he may have eaten an ossifrage. I hope not, because it doesn't look to me like an ossifrage, and an osprey would be very good to eat even. But the Lord put them outside the bounds of what his people could eat. Now, why did God give that to them? Well, he makes it clear. He says here, "Ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not cut yourselves, nor make any baldness between your eyes for the dead. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all nations that are upon the earth. Thou shalt not eat any abominable thing." And therefore God prescribed their diet for them. And diet is important. There's a difference between pork and lamb. And even doctors today prescribe diet. Certain meats are out, others are included. Now, will you notice some things here that we should, I think, say as a preliminary consideration? First of all, let me say as we get in this 8th chapter that doubtful and questionable practices is the area we're in. Now, the Bible grants a permission for certain practices. There are certain things, though, that are positively all right. That's okay to eat that. We're given a green light relative to it. I don't think under any circumstances that the Lord didn't say that you couldn't eat papaya, far as I know, and I'm glad he didn't say you couldn't eat it because I like it. And I love fruit, and apparently most fruit was available. And there's certain things that he's given a green light to. He never said prayer was wrong or singing was wrong, except when I try to sing. My wife thinks it's wrong for me to even try. But apparently you make melody in your heart. Teaching the Word of God, I never felt under any conviction is wrong. And working with my hands, I never thought that was wrong. Now, the Bible forbids certain practices. The red light's put up there. There's no argument or question or doubt. God condemns drunkenness. No use trying to defend it, friends. There are those that want to argue today about whether you can drink wine as a Christian and that type of thing. All I can say to you, drunkenness is condemned, and you can't get drunk unless you drink alcohol, that's for sure. And the works of the flesh are manifest, Paul says. Uncleanness, fornication, these things are wrong. In fact, drugs is listed there. Now, the Bible is silent on certain practices. There's a between area, a gray area, and it's neither black or white. Certain questionable practices, doubtful things. It's one we don't know too much about. Let me just mention something, and I'll let you argue it. I'm not. Should a woman use makeup? What about the miniskirt? We probably could have taken that up in the last chapter, by the way. Is it possible to be a Christian and smoke? I'm not answering that. All I'm trying to say is that these do come in the area of questionable things. Now, in my Southland, many of the churches say that mixed bathing is wrong, but smoking is all right. Out here on the West Coast, they think mixed bathing is all right. And believe me, it's mixed out here. But smoking is verboten. You just better not, or you put out a certain circle. Now, you see, these are rules that have been put down by Christians. They may be good or may be bad. I'm not even going to argue that today because I want you to see a great principle here. And then there's another preliminary consideration, and I want to develop this because this is important. If you miss seeing the background of this, you're going to miss the whole point. And it's simply this. The best place to eat in Corinth was not at Howard Johnson's, or Holiday Inn, or McDonald's, hamburger places, or some of these others. The best place to get meat was in the temple area, or a meat shop that was run by the temple. Now, you find in the city of Corinth, and that's the background, that people brought sacrifices of animals to offer. And they always brought the best, you see. But when that meat was offered to the idol, didn't stay there long because they figured that the spirit of the idol ate the spirit of the meat, so the meal is over. And so they just took the meat, took it to the marketplace, and in the shambles it was offered. The stalls were there where meat was sold. Now, if you wanted to get the best fillets and the best porterhouse steaks and the best prime rib roast in Corinth, you had to go to one of those meat shops. And that meat had been offered to idols. And the Corinthians wrote Paul that there were some there that were offended. They would be invited out for dinner to another Christian family, and they would be serving them a lovely filet mignon. And during the course of the conversation, said, "My, this is wonderful meat that you have. Where'd you get it?" And then they'd say, "Got it up at the temple butcher shop, or the temple market." And they were offended by it. Oh, they wouldn't eat anything that was offered to idols. Now, Paul is going to discuss this question here. Should you eat things offered to idols like that? And that was the problem in Corinth, because some of them, with that background who'd come out of idolatry, they were offended by that sort of things. Others, well, it made no difference.